You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 110 for February 25th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk all about running. Today, I think we kind of have a lot of running news, kind of a lot of stuff going on from this past weekend and today.
Yeah, even today.
Yeah, big announcement from Disney, so we'll mention
that. We'll get to that. Kind of make up for the last 2 weeks where we haven't had too much news.
Yeah. So before we get to that, let's just kind of jump straight into our weekend training, kind of share how things went this past week.
All right.
Let you go first.
Let's see if I remember. I don't know why it seems kind of like foggy or something.
I'm totally with you on that. It seems like
Yeah, I'm like,
far
what
away.
Happened? What happened last week? So, but luckily, I made some notes, so I don't have to totally remember. But said 2 days of strength training, and in terms of running, I had just under 47 miles of running, so a good week. I had one trail run on Saturday, which ended up being a 20-mile trail run, and actually felt really good. So not as much elevation gain and loss as the previous runs that I've been doing, but much longer mileage. So I think it was kind of a good change.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people are listening from, you know, the past week, I kind of had a rough trail run the week before that didn't feel that great.
That's right.
So kind of some redemption and confidence building felt pretty good. It was funny. So I went to Lake Chabot for the trail run. We mentioned it before. I've actually done some races there, and there's a lake, and I basically do a loop around the lake. Did the loop twice this time, but so went out there and, you know, got to pay for the parking. I was like in line to pay. I'm like, gosh, there's a lot of cars out here. And I went a little bit earlier than I normally do. I'm like, there's a lot of cars. So, you know, paid my money, went into the parking lot. I'm like, oh, there's like a U-Haul truck and they're like unloading stuff. Huh. I wonder if there's an event. And I'm like, oh yeah, it looks like there's probably some sort of event. I wonder if there's like a big family reunion or something. That's what I think of, right? Like, yeah, okay. And then I'm driving around. I'm like, you know, get a spot. And I'm like, huh. I'm like, there seems to be a lot of runners just kind of walking around. And, oh, look, there's a bib. Oh, look, there's somebody that I recognize from other races that we see all the time. I'm like, I bet there's a race. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe there's a race. And so then, you know, I kind of went into panic mode, like, do I still run here? Do I not? Am I going to be in the way? Is it going to be crowded? What do I do? And then, of course, like, I quickly get my phone out. I'm like, okay, what race is going on? You know, like, maybe I can tell where the course is. Do I need to change, like, my plan, you know, where I was going to run? So I'm able to pull up what race is going on. And my original plan was to actually do 18 miles. And one of the, there is an event going on by a local trail running company, another one actually, Inside Trail Racing. Mm-hmm. Haven't done one of their events before, but they actually had a 30K. And I was like, oh, like a 30K, right? You know, 30K race, and it hasn't started yet. And I'm here, and I was planning to do 18 miles. I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I could just sign up. And then, you know, clearly right on the front page there on the webpage, it's like, oh, all events sold out. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I almost just last minute, like registered for a 30K just because I was there and, you know, but
that's like super last minute.
I know.
Be like, oh, wait, there's a race starting in 30 minutes. I'm in.
Let's I just, I'm like, oh, maybe that'll be a good way to do it. So that
no,
I don't feel,
been
you know,
way.
But I think it ended up working out because, I mean, I got 2 extra miles in and did my own thing. And then so I was trying to figure out, okay, well, which way do I go? Do I go? Because I was going to start 45 minutes before any other racer started. I'm like, do I go in the direction they're going to be running? And then all the fast people are going to like pass me and, you know, become flying behind me. I'm like, or do I go the opposite way so that I share less? I don't know. I was just like, you know, trying to like figure all this stuff out. But I actually ended up going the opposite direction that they were going, which worked out better because I could see them coming. And most of them could see me coming, not all of them. Which, by the way, I've never realized or paid attention to, maybe because I was running against the flow of traffic, mm-hmm. you know, and not with it. How many people look just straight down when they're like straight down?
Like just looking at their feet?
Yeah. Like I could see like the top of their head and I'm like coming towards them and I'm like, okay, like I need a little bit of room on the trail. Like this is like a fire road and you guys are all across. Like, where do you want me to go? You know, and then like last minute, they're like, oh, you know, surprised that there's somebody there. I know they weren't necessarily expecting somebody to be coming in the opposite direction, but these trails aren't closed. It's a park. It's still open to the public. There could be lots of other people out there. So there's just so many people that were just looking straight down, not even like at the ground ahead so that they don't like.
Just at their feet.
Just at their feet. So
I must confess, though, I've actually been guilty of that.
Really?
In the past. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad habit that I developed a long time ago, and I still fight to get rid of it sometimes.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting, but it ended up working out anyways. But I was just kind of, it was a little race envy, but you know, but I wasn't planning to do that race anyways. It was just weird that I got there and there was a race happening. But overall, that trail run went really well, and it was basically my last long trail run or long run before Way Too Cool, which is now a little under 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. So 50K that I've been training up for. So, because the taper starts now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you did have a really good weekend, though. I mean, 20 on Saturday and...
Yeah.
How many did you do on Sunday?
I did 12 miles
on
Sunday. Non-trail, but 12 miles and actually didn't feel too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt a little fatigued, but not as bad as I expected. So, again, more like confidence building again, you know, because I'm like, oh, I've come a long way from the beginning of the year or even before then, where like the back-to-back longish runs, the second day I definitely felt a lot more tired in the past and I felt better this time. So, yeah, so I had a pretty good weekend even. So mm-hmm. My week was pretty good. My weekend was really good.
So where are you at with Way Too Cool? I mean, tapering now, 2 weeks
tapering
to go.
Now.
Feeling confident now?
Feeling more confident now than I did before. Definitely more confident than I felt a week ago when I kind of had that bad, or not bad, but well, I guess, yeah, bad trail run.
Now, you did this race last year. Mm-hmm. Are you going to try to beat your time from last year?
I don't know. I'd love to. And at the beginning of training for this, I would have said no because I was having my foot and ankle issues mm-hmm. and I just didn't know what was going to happen. But as it's getting closer and I've had more runs under my belt, I think it's doable to beat my time. I'm not going to go out there with that specific goal. Like I have to try to get that certain pace, you know, cause it's going to vary so much on the trail anyways, you know, with the elevation gain and loss that I can't do that math, you know, and figure out what I have to be. But, I guess goal number one is just to finish. Goal number two would be to beat my time from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't even have to be by much. I'd be okay if like I beat it by like a minute. But yeah, I mean, looking back at my training leading up to the race last year compared to this year, well, for one thing, I definitely have a lot more trail miles
under your belt.
Under my belt. So, and obviously a 50K that I hadn't done before. So
and
just being able
50K,
to do that distance,
but the exact same race,
right?
So
yeah, so kind of knowing more what to expect. So I mean, that's all, I guess, good and in my favor for this year. But I mean, you just never know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a long distance. You never know what weather's going to bring.
That's true.
Because
we had
really good weather last year. It was clear. It was sunny. It wasn't hot. And this year it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been so weird weather-wise up here that it could be pouring rain. It could be hot. I mean, we had a day last week or I don't even remember when that like it was a high of like 72,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, which I know doesn't seem that hot, but if you're out there in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be way different than running out there in the 50s. So, yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Are you
going to see over the next 2 weeks?
Are you going to take your pack on the run?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just haven't figured out if I'm going to do the same thing that I did last year, which with Way Too Cool, it's basically two loops. The course is two loops. So there's a smaller like 8 mile loop that you do first and then a larger 23 mile plus loop that you do afterwards. And I think last year with the 8 mile loop, I just took a bottle
mm-hmm.
and then you had my pack.
Right.
Because you come back to the finish start area and I handed the bottle to you and you gave me my pack. So then I had that for the next 23 miles. So I don't know if I'm going to do that again. It worked out pretty well. I don't know if I should just take my pack the whole time and not make that switch off. That I haven't figured out.
I mean, what do I know? But I still like that. If it was me, I'd like that idea of just having the bottle for a little while and then switch into a pack just to... So less miles.
Yeah.
Carrying the pack and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't think I really need to worry about the time I lose in giving you a bottle and...
Taking a pack. Well, yeah. That's like 30 seconds.
Exactly. No, I mean, and really, like, okay, even if it took a minute.
Right.
I mean, what's that really going to... Yeah. I just hope I'm not here, like, talking about it, like, 3 weeks from now. I'm like, oh, I was so close to my time. It was just
I missed
like,
it by 30 seconds.
Exactly. So, I still need to figure out, like, dial down my specific race strategy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But... I guess at this point I'm at the point where I've done all the training I could do. I can't really do anything else between now and race day to really make much of a difference other than, you know, just eat well and drink lots of water and get rest. Don't overdo it.
No, I mean, I think you should be confident going into it. I think you're ready. You've been doing the running the last 2 months and, you know, you did finish the year off with your fastest marathon ever in October.
Yeah.
And then another marathon with a pretty good time in December, so I think you're pretty much ready. So
yeah, ready as I'm going to be. Yeah, so I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm feeling pretty calm right now, but we'll see. We'll see next week how calm I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, so that's. Oh, and then after that, then I have to. I don't have to. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, take some rest, take some time off, not a huge amount of time, but take some time off and then got to cycle back in to get ready for Big Sur. Although I'm not too worried about Big Sur in terms of just finishing it. That's what that's the only goal I'm going to have for Big Sur, is just finishing it under the time cutoff. I'm not going to worry about any other specific time goal or anything like that. So just having fun.
Yeah, I think we've actually both kind of focused in on the plan for Big Sur. I think for both of us, it's going to be more about just enjoying a really cool race with some very cool scenery.
Yeah.
And not shooting for times at all, because number one, it is a very tough and hilly course.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, we're both coming back a month later and running another marathon.
Right.
Which will be Mountains to Beach in Southern California, which is actually a very fast marathon because there's a lot of downhill, at least over the first half. I think it's almost 18 miles of pretty runner-friendly elevation. So
I don't think it's like real steep downhill or anything. It's slight.
But it's better than uphill.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the plan for us is going to be, you know, Big Sur, just enjoy it for what it is and a very cool race and scenery. And then if we care about times, worry about that in a month later.
Right. With Mountains to Beach.
At a much friendlier course.
Yeah.
For that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of taken the mentality of Big Sur. I'm going to really just use it as a really long training run leading up to Mountains to Beach. So, yeah. So I guess after taking about an hour of time here, I'm done with my weekend training. So how was your week?
My week was actually pretty good. So I think I actually got my running week started early on Monday because it was the President's Day holiday, and took advantage of the Monday day off to go get a 7-miler in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty good. Came back on Thursday, got my other midweek run in. I think as far as I remember, feels pretty good. I did get one day on the bike, which is awesome. Didn't do any of the other stuff that I've been not doing for weeks now, but
hey, but one day on the bike.
One day on the bike. Yeah. It's kind of interesting because I've kind of, I guess, attacked the priorities. You know, number one was just running, obviously, because if you care about running, you should
run.
The priority is running.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
Really stuck to my training plan, like very close to it in terms of days and mileage. And, you know, probably my next priority after that was actually the want or the need to get on the bike one day a week. And I've been inconsistent, but I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything after that is kind of dated and fallen off. And maybe I'll work on that on the next training cycle. But the running's been pretty good. So then the weekend came and I had on my schedule said 16 to 17 miles is what I was supposed to do. Although if you actually go back to what I originally planned at the beginning of the year, it was actually supposed to be an 18 miler, but
that's not that much of a difference.
No, a couple weeks ago I had that one bad run, so I kind of adjusted, and I did actually have some extra, I guess, time, or I put a little extra space in my training plan. That way I could make at least one or two adjustments. So this became a 16 or 17 miler, and I did do my 17 miler, and I was pretty happy with how it went. Struggled a little bit at 14, 15, hit a little bit of a rough patch, seemed to get tough, but I actually did finish it off the last mile. You know, I was definitely slowing down at the end, and it's funny, I was getting my splits on my phone every quarter mile, and every split I was like losing a second on my average pace. And I'm like, oh, and then the next split I lose another second, and then the next split I'm losing, oh, 2 seconds. But overall, the time was actually pretty good because I actually ran, my average pace was 21 seconds faster per mile than the 15 miler I did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah, so to run 21 seconds faster on a 17 miler versus how I ran at a 15 miler was pretty good, although the 15 miler was in the rain, so you could make the argument that maybe that slowed me down a little bit, but
that's still a big difference, though. 21 seconds. It's not like it was like 5.
Although I got to say, I kind of felt better doing that 15 miler in the rain 2 weeks ago. That's the one I said I was very focused.
Yeah.
And this one, I just seemed to struggle more. And that's kind of why I was super surprised when I finished it and compared times. So I was like, oh, I was faster. That's weird. But super, super happy about that. So this was actually my highest weekly mileage for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going well. Recording this now on Tuesday, 2 days later, I actually do feel pretty good.
Good.
I did take a nice bath after the run on the weekend. So I did that 17 miler, and oh, it was funny because I finished the run, and you know, my knee hurt a little bit during the run, and I stopped, and as soon as I stopped, I was like, oh, my legs are so tired. Oh, my feet hurt. Like everything all of a sudden just like clicked, and my whole body said, you know, why did you do this to us? And we're sending you pain responses back. And I felt horrible like there for a couple minutes, like immediately after. I don't know why. Like my foot didn't bother me at all during the run. And as soon as I stopped, like both my feet started hurting. I was like, what's going on here?
It's like your body knew, like it was holding on
just for like 17.
Yeah, just not busting at the seams, just until you were done. And then once it realized you were done,
all
broke loose.
So after the run, when I got home, I took a I just filled my big old garbage can. I've talked about it before. Yeah. It's a clean garbage can with cold water, and dumped as much ice as I had in there and hopped in, for, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes or something like that. And I think it actually did help. I felt pretty good later that evening. And now 2 days later, I feel pretty good. So mm-hmm. I think I've always said I'm a fan of kind of doing the ice bath thing. So it helped me out a little bit this week. So maybe I'll have to continue that. I don't know. As I even get a little bit longer in the mileage here, yeah. as I build up to 20 or 21. So what else from this week? Almost saw a runner get hit by a car.
Almost saw a runner?
Well, okay. I saw a runner who was almost hit by a car.
Okay. I'm like, how do you almost see a runner?
It was out of the corner of my eye. Oh, okay. I was running on this paved path that actually crosses streets, and this runner was probably maybe 40, 50 feet in front of me. And I'm just looking ahead, and I see the runner, and he didn't, you know, it's one of those where I think it was both the driver's fault and the runner's fault, because this truck that was driving was, I think, going too fast for a location where there's tons of walkers and runners and cyclists going by.
Yeah.
And he had to slam on his brakes, but the runner also just was going straight through the street without...
Like not really paying attention?
He didn't look either direction.
Yikes.
And I saw him the whole time, so I know that he didn't look in either direction. Yeah. And even when the truck kind of slammed on his brakes, he basically just kept on running.
Oh my gosh.
In my book, they were both guilty, but thankfully, no issues there. Yeah. So, pay attention, please.
Yeah, no
safety
kidding.
First, above all else. And I think that's it for the week, right? That's all I had. I guess I'll mention now that we actually did register for another race. No shock there. We added the Modesto Half Marathon to our race schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in about a month.
I think so.
So that's actually before we run Big Sur. It's after Way Too Cool for you. But I think that was on a weekend that...
I think your plan actually called for how many miles on that weekend anyways?
It was a recovery week for me, so I had a 12-miler on the training plan. So for me to go 13 was, that's fine. I'm not going to race it.
Right.
I'm just doing it as a run, and, you know, I'll take the added benefit of doing it with other people and having fun and having aid stations. But for me, it's just a training run, but I decided to add it. I think you had like 16 on the plan?
Yeah, and I wasn't too worried about doing 13 coming off of Way Too Cool.
And this was a weekend we kind of had circled on the calendar. Modesto is actually in, for those outside of California, it's in California Central Valley, kind of a big city. This race has been around a couple years. Heard it was pretty good. It's also associated with their local running club there, Shadow Chase Running Club, which I've always heard positive things about. No firsthand experience. It's actually the same weekend as the Oakland Running Festival.
Yeah.
So we were actually kind of going back and forth between the two.
Which one do we do?
Yeah,
we should do one of them. Should we do Oakland?
Should we do a race? Not do a race. And then we said, let's do the race. And then it was Oakland, Modesto.
Yeah, it kept going back and forth.
And at the end of the day, I think we made our decision based on economics. I think Modesto was about $25 cheaper. $20 or $25 cheaper.
Yeah.
Than Oakland to do the half. And then for Modesto, you actually get a jacket along with a shirt.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it just came down to value, I guess you could say. Because other than that, I didn't really have a strong feeling.
One way or another. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll do Oakland at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we had the weekend circle, because we thought about Oakland last year and then ended up not doing it and did it again this year. So we'll see if next year we actually do get out for that one. But so added that one to the calendar. I think that was it, right?
And people probably think, like, how do you keep adding races to the calendar?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think when I look at kind of my calendar for the year, it looks pretty empty to me. So, and I think there's already, you know, 10 races on there. I don't know.
I think when I look at my calendar, it looks pretty good through May.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't really have anything beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll worry about that later. I'm sure it'll fill itself in.
All right. Should we move on here?
Yeah. Talk about some races.
Yeah. So big races this past weekend. Tokyo Marathon, Ragnar Relay Del Sol, which is in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Disney World Princess Half Marathon weekend. That included the new glass slipper challenge.
Yeah.
Central Park Marathon 26.2 with Donna. And the Cowtown Marathon in Fort Worth, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess I should mention congratulations to Ivan and his girlfriend who got there and ran the race.
Yeah.
And
first marathon.
Yeah. So congrats on that. Actually, did see the medal on his Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a pretty cool medal. Medal kind of looks like a, how would you describe it? It's like a sheriff's badge almost type of thing.
Yeah.
So Cowtown Half Marathon. Right. Cowtown Marathon here. But it also had above that, it's like a belt.
Yeah.
Buckle so looking.
Right.
So it's like weird. It's like a badge on a belt.
It's almost like it's on a belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the ribbon.
Right.
To go around your neck. So it's actually a pretty cool, unique looking medal. So.
Yeah. I didn't even notice the belt part of it. You're like, oh, it kind of looks like a belt buckle. I'm like, it does. And then I had to go back and look. So, but it's a pretty cool medal. I like it.
All right. So top story came today, actually, out of Run Disney, a new race onto the Run Disney calendar going to happen at Disneyland. It's going to be the Avengers Superheroes Half Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be in November with registration opening March 25th. So going with the Marvel Avengers concept and theme.
Which I think it's about time that they had another event at Disneyland.
Yeah, Disneyland's definitely a little bit thin when it comes to events. Is this, I think, number three?
Yeah. It's Tinkerbell, Disneyland Half Marathon Weekend, and then now this one.
Yeah. So Avengers themed, you know, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Thor, all that stuff. Lots of tie-ins to the movies.
I love the Hulk. That's just random tidbit. Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed. I'd rather see a Star Wars themed race before they got to the Marvel stuff.
But, there's probably a lot of people that would agree with you.
Yeah. My first reaction was, all right, awesome, cool. You know, this kind of sounds fun. Almost a little more, to me, almost a little bit more appealing than just a standard Disney theme.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Disneyland, okay, that's for us in California. That's just a drive, a couple hours drive down. And then you look at the price tag. So the half marathon is going to be $195.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
That's ouch.
Steep. And then I think the 5K, they'll have a 5K on the Saturday along with kids races. And I think the 5K is $70.
Yeah.
So once I realized that, I'm like, I don't know so much if I want to do
not
this
as excited
race.
Anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, $70 for a 5K.
It's a lot of money.
Is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I just got a flyer in the mail today for kind of a local race and it's, you know, $25. Well, 25 if you want it chip timed. If you don't want it chip timed, it was actually 23, which I found weird. But so it's basically, you know, 2.5 times the price of a local. Actually, really almost 3 times the price. And then as far as $195 for the half marathon, I can do like four
mm-hmm.
half marathons.
Yeah.
Like, you know, pretty decent ones. So quite expensive. I don't want to say for sure that I'm not going to do it. But
You're actually thinking about it?
I will think about everything until March 25th when Ridge opens. So,
save some time.
Who knows how fast registration is going to fill up. So, I mean, if this sounds like something you absolutely want to do, I would just go ahead and register the minute it opens.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to sell out. It's just a matter of how
fast.
Yeah, despite the cost, I'm sure it'll sell out.
Yeah. And then I looked at the little, if you go over to Run Disney, their page, we'll put a link in the show notes. They have their little promo video with the announcements. Which I have to say, they do really cheesy videos over at Run Disney for like the promoting of the races.
Yeah, I'm like, not a big fan.
No, I'm
of
like,
the videos.
You're Disney. Can't you call us to some department? Especially like when you're tying in with Marvel. Can't you like throw in some stuff from the movies maybe or something like that?
And
mix that all together.
But I guess if that's their style.
I know.
Yeah, it's just kind of going with their style.
So just a little cheesy for me. So. Yeah. Any interest in doing the race?
Yes and no. So some interest. But the cost is not interesting at all.
And the one thing I did say to myself, if this had been in Florida, I would have immediately said, no way, I'm not doing it just because of the cost
for us to
go from the West Coast to the East Coast. Whereas I'm sure there's some people on the East Coast who, you know, this would make it too expensive for them to come out.
Exactly. Although I really do like the Hulk. So
I guess
you can guarantee me a picture with the Hulk.
I guess I'd
be interested even a little bit more.
I think I'll wait, you know, the next, because we have a month, right, to decide.
Yeah.
I guess I'll wait to see kind of, you know, if I have any friends that try to talk me into doing it or anybody I know that says, you know, hey, let's go do this. And then
be like, okay.
I'm actually pretty easy to talk into races. I'm not a hard sell when somebody approaches me. Hey, you want to come to? Okay. You know, pretty quick. So
you've gotten easier over time.
Over time.
In terms of talking into races. Yeah.
Interesting. That's
amazing. And I think I'm too easy for the most part.
You're just like, you just show up at a random park.
Exactly. Ready to do
ready to run the race. Yeah. So, all right. So other stuff from this weekend, Tokyo Marathon, which we mentioned, Dixon Chumba won the men's race on Sunday in a record of 2 hours, 5 minutes, 42 seconds. That's a record for Tokyo, not a new marathon record.
Right. And he actually broke his own personal best too, which is... I guess that's good.
Whether you're an average runner like us or an elite, that's always a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But Kenyans and Ethiopians, of course, dominated the race, so no surprise there. An interesting story that kind of made the news this week was, this is how, well, I hate the term jogger sometimes, but Austin police arrested a jogger for jaywalking, and it just kind of made national news because of the, there just happened to be somebody across the street who started taking pictures and shooting video, and I guess what happened was, This woman was just out running and she had her headphones in her ear and I guess she illegally crossed the street.
Right.
And I guess police were out there cracking down or on, doing some kind of focused on jaywalking. On jaywalking, I think they said pedestrian safety is what they said. So I guess they yelled at her and to stop or something or try to call her, and she didn't hear because she had music going in her ears, and then they grabbed her by the arm, which to me, the natural reaction is you're running. Somebody grabs you by the arm is to obviously pull away and,
right.
You know.
Or take a swing or something.
Who the heck is grabbing me?
It's a good thing she didn't take a swing.
So I guess the police weren't too happy about that and ended up sitting her down on the ground and putting her in handcuffs. And then I guess she refused to give her name. So she ended up getting arrested, put mm-hmm. in a police car. There's a video of actually her screaming. And it's quite a scene. I think we only mention it because, if nothing else, it's kind of a lesson maybe just to turn down the music or mm-hmm. pull an earbud out. Or, you know, you were talking about over on Facebook, one person was mentioned, you know, this is kind of a reason not to run with earbuds. You kind of avoid things like this. You're a lot safer without music. But
Or just have one in, one out, so then you could still hear things. I mean, if you're not hearing somebody shouting at you to stop, I don't know if they're shouting, but just assuming that they're shouting at you to stop, you might not hear a cyclist coming behind you or, you know, I mean, you know, just anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another car coming. I don't know. You might just miss a lot of things. Somebody else actually sneaking up behind you mm-hmm. to do you harm. So.
And I actually admit that I do run with music in my ears all the time. Although I think of late, maybe this past year, I've definitely developed the very good habit that every time I am crossing some kind of street or intersection, mm-hmm. I always pull one earbud out and make sure that I can, you know, my music's not too loud to begin with, but I pull one earbud out
to
when I'm
sure.
looking kind of both ways to make sure that
right.
I'm, you know, I'm hearing things, making sure you got to listen and you got to look too, because, you know, you could be a Prius at the corner and no
noise.
That's
true, because I've been like, where the heck did that car come from? I didn't hear anything. And then, then it's a Prius. So it's like, oh, that's why I didn't hear it.
So that's kind of why we bring up the story, but it's kind of an interesting read anyways. Other news, Fitbit Force, which is one of those fitness tracker wearables that have become so popular.
Put on your wrist, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That have become so popular, I was actually recalled this past week. So a voluntary recall because of people were developing rashes
mm-hmm.
on their wrist. So, which could be probably the nickel that's in it.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm.
Or it could also actually be the glue that's in the band. But either way, if you have one of those, you can contact Fitbit, and I guess you send it back, and they all will send you a check.
So, did you hear? I mean, I read the article about it and everything, but have you heard from other people if they are going to kind of revamp this? And
I'm assuming
that's the plan. But
no, I'm sure they're going to try to fix whatever it is and get a replacement on the mm-hmm. market as quickly as possible because the Fitbit Force has actually been one of the most popular ones. And if I was to get one of these, I would probably have gotten the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't.
Yeah. Although you could have been fine.
Could have.
I mean, because there's nothing wrong with the way it's working. It's just the reaction that some people are having.
And it's just some people. You're just
it's
either
not
one of those people or you're not. So
that's sensitive to whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other news from the weekend. USA Indoor Track and Field Championship in Albuquerque was mm-hmm. this weekend. Interestingly enough, I was actually at home watching TV. I was looking for Olympics coverage, which we didn't even mention. Yeah, the Olympics ended this past weekend.
Yeah.
I was actually looking for some Olympics coverage to watch something on TV randomly, and I actually did come across U.S. Track and Field. So I actually did record it, and I actually did watch at least what was on that 1.5-hour segment that I caught. So,
which included this event, actually.
Which included a couple of these events. So and I should mention Mary Kane raced. I think she won the 1500.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the big stories was the 3,000 meters. For the men, it was kind of Bernard Lagat and Galen Rupp going head-to-head, which Bernard Lagat won,
mm-hmm.
not surprisingly.
Yeah.
He had actually saw the race, had a hell of a kick at the end. I heard one person say that I think he's like 18-1 against Galen Rupp.
I heard that too.
So I don't know if that's correct or not, but that's what I heard, which if I'm Galen Rupp, that's got to be getting into my head at this point in time.
I don't know, 18-1. If it was me, I'd be like, oh, well, he was supposed to win anyways. If it was like, you know, 10-8... Or I guess it'd be 10-9. I'd be like, oh, like so close, you know, but 18-1, I don't know.
Yeah. So, and then there was the women's 3,000 meter that actually became quite a drama
mm-hmm.
that I will do my best here to kind of summarize very quickly and shortly. But I will put a link to a pretty good article, or actually two pretty good articles that kind of go through the whole drama that unfolded with this race. So how should I tell this story? So basically the winner of the race was actually Gabrielle Grunewald.
Mm-hmm.
She won it beating out Roberry and Jordan Hesse.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an issue, I guess, on the bell lap where Grunewald actually passed Hesse and there was some physical contact there. And then actually an official on the track actually did raise their flag.
Yeah.
Grunewald won the race. After the lead official went to the corner judge over there that raised the flag, they discussed. They said no foul had occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Hesse's coach, Alberto Salazar, and I guess, I don't know who
very
else
well
from
known
their
coach.
Team. Yeah, everybody. I hope most people know who Alberto Salazar is. I guess they protested. They lost their protest. They actually filed another protest, which goes to the jury of appeals.
Mm-hmm.
And they reviewed the tape and all that stuff. And they lost that protest.
Yeah, they said no foul.
Which, according to the rules, that's supposed to be the final and the end of it done.
Right.
Unless there's some new evidence that emerges. But it has to be new evidence. Something new, something that they haven't seen. And then apparently 4 hours later, the jury of appeals reversed their decision and disqualified Gabriel Grunewald, for that incident. And, a lot of the talk in one of these articles, it's, you know, it just, the whole situation seems shady, with just the protest and Alberto Salazar kind of popping his head in the tent where the jury of appeals are kind of looking at all this stuff and this constant going back and forth. And, this one article actually points a lot to maybe that Nike has too much influence over U.S. track and field at this point in time.
Just kind of raising the concern.
Which, like I said, if you read through this whole article, it's worth the read. Definitely makes this one big dramatic thing to go through. So Grunewald camp, actually, I think they appealed to the USOC to kind of intervene and kind of look into this. And I think nothing was accomplished there. But I think the next day, which was Monday morning.
Yeah.
I think, I guess was it the head of USA track and field? I think kind of, had some more discussions and it turned out, I think Alberto Salazar and Jordan Hesse, I guess decided to, remove their protest.
Yeah.
I guess
like withdraw it or
yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess whatever negotiations were there, they withdrew their protest and track and field gave the win and the
title back to
Gab, Grunewald.
So no, nothing else to settle now. I guess it settled, but it was more by way of, I guess, withdrawing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, it's the removal of the protest that actually kind of brought everything to a close. If you saw the race, Grunewald was by far the fastest person on the track that day. I mean, she ended up, there was a little bump that might have thrown off Hesse's stride, but Grunewald was by far the best runner on the track in that race.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end, she really did have an awesome kick. But it was just weird seeing all this kind of drama go back and forth. Involving USA track and field. And apparently this is not the first time stuff like this kind of happened.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it is I'm definitely not an expert in any way in terms of indoor track and knowing what constitutes a foul and what doesn't. But I think that wasn't even the point, you know, it got to the point where, okay, it should have stopped after the second level of like, okay, no, there wasn't a foul. So like after the jury of appeals?
Yeah.
Like it really should have just ended there. But the fact that it didn't.
And the fact that they got reversed 4 hours later.
Right. It's like, and there was like, what new evidence could have potentially been
supposedly
revealed.
There was enhanced videotape and.
Right. But then in the article, it talks about somebody talking to the people that were in charge of the video footage and saying.
No, there was nothing new.
There was nothing new. It was the same footage that we've already shown them. So, So I think that's kind of where the story lies.
Yeah. So, like I said, a very interesting read. Kind of clicked with me or resonated with me a little bit more. Just happened to see the race. And then, you know, I saw the race. And I'm like, okay, she won. And then you read all this stuff and go,
you're like, wait, what? Yeah.
And I did see the little bump on the track. And I'm not familiar enough with kind of track rules to say my personal opinion whether that was a foul or not a foul.
Right. But, same here.
Still interesting. In the men's 3000, Andrew Bumblow was actually disqualified for interference. And it was I was watching some of the interviews with him afterwards. And he was kind of like, he didn't find out he was disqualified until like an hour later from a teammate. So it's like not even USA Track and Field doesn't even come over and tell you you're disqualified.
I would just assume that somebody would personally come to you face to face and say, hey, this is.
You would think that's kind of the first thing. Like after they make a decision, you inform the athlete. Mm-hmm. But he didn't
know
what he.
At least the athlete's coach.
Yeah, he didn't think he did anything wrong. He didn't know what he did wrong. He went back and looked at the videotape and kind of still didn't know what he did wrong.
Yeah.
There was also the thought of maybe they disqualified the wrong person, but
because there was potentially some contact.
Yeah, with somebody else,
but
then they said it was interference. So
yeah,
just another USA track and field kind of a mess. Like I said, a lot of drama surrounding that. So let's move on from track and field. Big race out in Florida, 26.2 Wetana. It's actually a pretty well known race.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had some bad weather. Lightning kind of moved in towards the end of the race, and they ended up having about 300 runners who were still out on course and still pretty far from the finish.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of lightning, they actually, you know, these races have their alert levels on weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually moved it to black, which was basically in the race. And so they dispatched buses to pick up these last 300 people that were out on course. I think if you were super close to the finish, they allowed you to just go ahead and finish. But they did have to go out on the course and pick up those people. And they did all get their finisher's medal.
Right.
I did see that in the article. But, I mean, that's the right call. Lightning ain't no joke.
Yeah, so I don't want to be out there safety. Hit by lightning.
Yeah.
I want somebody to come pick me up.
What else? So another interesting article. I was reading a lot of articles this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I ran a lot last week. And then I read a lot.
Yeah.
That's weird. Who has time for this?
I know.
An article by Outside Online. Pretty interesting. Very long article. But,
very long.
I think
it took me like over 2 days to read it. I mean, obviously, like I wasn't reading it nonstop, but I kind of had to break it up into two different segments for me to get through it.
Yeah, so the article is actually called The Shadiest Man in the Racing Biz, and it's an article about Dean Ranke and his company, USR, a half marathon.
Which we've actually mentioned before.
Which we have mentioned it once before based mm-hmm. on a different article that
right.
was run back in the day.
Yes.
So it's basically just kind of detailing his company's track record with races over the last...
No pun intended.
Good one. Over the last several years and maybe... allegations with him over his entire career over a whole lot of issues. But I think if you Google his name or his company's name, you will find tons of negative reviews, tons of forums and blog posts with problems with his races, most notably of races where they collected registration fees and the race never happened.
Right.
And it's not even a question of, you know, we had this race on the books and the race got canceled. It's turns out, oh, this race was never even permitted with the city.
Exactly.
So, like, if you were to ask the city about this half marathon that was supposed to happen,
it's like,
would
that
say,
was never approved.
That was never approved. Yeah. We had no plan. We have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
So, the article kind of goes through everything and lots of specific things about him possibly not paying charities that were involved with races that he put on in the past, not paying for, you know, not paying the porta potty company, not paying
the
shirt
company.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it actually does, the author of the article actually does interview him and actually does say, you know, part of the problem is he's a very likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he can almost talk you into kind of a very good salesman, if anything else.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And it's kind of, it's one of those confusing situations where he actually does put on races that do happen and go off without any problems.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually done one of those races.
Yeah.
In the past.
Right.
And it went off without a problem. Although,
yeah. Although I knew nothing about
any of
the
this.
Track record
right.
with the company prior. And I think I guess it just worked out that race actually did happen without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if everybody got paid that was supposed to get paid, you know, in terms of the different organizations that needed to be paid. But
right.
I didn't have a problem with it from a participant perspective.
Yeah, you did the race 1 year. And then the following year, that race did happen again.
Yeah.
And then the third year, for some reason, that
it was
race
supposed
just
to happen.
Was supposed to happen. Was just...
Like, registration was open.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, oh, no, it's actually moving to 2 months later in a different city about 40 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then as that time got closer, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is still going to happen, but it's going to happen several months later. And then that never happened.
Yeah. So that's our
Which
personal experience
pretty, yeah.
with it. And it's actually the race. One of the races we're talking about is actually mentioned in the article as a race where people registered and
it didn't happen.
Didn't happen. And never
and
got
it wasn't,
their money
wasn't
back.
Really, really planned to happen from what we can tell.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very good read, if nothing else. But it's also a cautionary tale of make sure you know what you're signing up for.
Right.
And if you're going to do one of these events, I would research. If you're going to do a USRA half marathon, I'd research the hell out of it to make sure. Even then, I wouldn't even be sure what was going to happen. But
yeah, I still actually get their emails.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, because, you know, I did the race a couple years back.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this year, there's supposed to be one in Morgan Hill, which is like South Bay,
mm-hmm.
I believe like in June or July. And so I kept getting the emails like, oh, there's going to be Morgan Hill or, you know, they tend to do this thing where like the greater area. So it's like not actually in Morgan Hill, but mm-hmm. very close to it. But anyways, you know, the registration is going to open soon. And so I kept getting the emails and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Not that I'm going to register, but I just kind of kept track of it. And then I kind of didn't hear anything about it. And then they sent another email with like the calendar over the next year. And then all of a sudden Morgan Hill wasn't listed for the summer anymore. It's listed for like early next year. So it's like, okay. I'm just going to keep an eye on it because I'm just curious. see what happens, what unfolds with that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And in the article, he always defends, you know, he defends everything that he's done. And, you know, we're not telling you what to do, or we're just kind of telling you our experience, and maybe give the article a read and make judgments for yourself.
Yeah.
But if anything else, it's a cautionary tale about making sure you know what you're signing up for.
Mm-hmm.
And then that article actually pointed us over to the Roadrunners Club of America. Actually, it has a pretty good, this is from 2012, but they actually have a pretty, it appeared in their summer magazine, some guidelines about registering for a race. So they call it buyer beware. And I was just going to kind of run through some of these tips. That way you don't find yourself in a situation where you're signing up for a race that isn't going to happen or doesn't exist, or, you know, any shenanigans are involved. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, running is now a very big business.
Yeah.
With a lot of money involved, there's a lot of money to be made. I mean, shit, we were just talking about Disney, you know, $195, you know, not that Disney is a problem, but $195.
But just an example.
Yeah, it's just an example of there's a lot of money in the sport.
Right. And I think, you know, I do want to say just the caveat that we all know that when we register for a race, whether it's a small local event or a very large international event, whatever mm-hmm. it may be, that race fees are non-refundable, and we're always, you know, agreeing to that fact. But for the most part, it's, you know, in the case where it doesn't take place because of some sort of natural disaster or circumstances, you know, beyond their control. It's not like, oh, I kind of never really planned to have this.
It's like, it's like New York Marathon.
Right.
Obviously.
Exactly.
There was that race in Texas that was lightning a couple years back that the entire race got canceled.
Yep.
That's what you expect.
That sort of thing.
But you don't expect to register for
a
race.
Or something for extreme heat. It's not safe. Yeah. And so they, you know, they don't do it.
Yeah, but you don't expect to register for a race that you come to find out there's no permits for.
Right.
Nobody in the local city has ever heard of this race or has no idea what was going on. In the article, it mentions one family that signed up for this half marathon, and they showed up on race weekend. They got a hotel, showed up at race morning, and there was nothing there.
Yep. And asked like the local businesses, like, hey, because they thought maybe we were just a slightly different like place, you know, and they're like, they knew nothing about it.
Did we get our dates wrong?
Right.
Everybody
right.
was like, no? We had no idea what you're talking about. So I couldn't imagine showing up for a race and just be like, wow, there's a lot of empty parking, and I don't
and there's
see
nobody around.
Any cones marking off the street here.
Right. That's like the complete opposite experience that I had this weekend.
Right.
When you or don't plan for a race and you accidentally show up to a race.
So we're just going to run through kind of some of these guidelines that RRCA kind of made, just so you can...
for the buyer beware.
Buyer beware, just to be a little bit conscious when you're signing up for races. You know, obviously you don't have to worry about things like if you're signing up for Run Disney or... you know, big companies, I would say, if you're signing up for kind of rock and roll, you know what you're getting for. If you're, you know, if you're doing a Ragnar race, you know, kind of, you know, there's a history, you know, if something kind of goes happen with these companies,
right?
You know, you're going to get your money back on that stuff. But if you've never heard of the company or the race before,
right.
Then kind of buyer beware. So tip number one, look for events that have been run before. If an event boasts anywhere from 3 to 30+ years running, there's a good chance that the race will go off as promoted. So just look for some history, or at least that gives you a little bit more confidence.
Right.
Number two here, look for events that are USA Track and Field certified courses. So it's not really important that the course is certified, but it's kind of a showing that the race director has put some work into the race and maybe actually has a course. And usually you can go on the race's website and find out whether it's certified, and there'll actually be a number.
Right. Although, granted, there's going to be a lot of local, like 5Ks or 10Ks
that aren't
certified. But then that's where the number one kind of comes in, where it's an established local race that's been here for like 15 years and is, you know, done to raise money. What's money?
That's a new one.
That's
for
interesting.
Me.
Yeah.
Usually
that's
kind of
like, that's kind of like money for charity. I just said money.
Good one.
But anyways, you know, so then it's kind of a small established local race, but you know, it's been here for like 10, 15, 20 years, you know? And so, yeah, they're not going to necessarily be USA Track and Field certified, but
Number three, look to see if the local running club is hosting the event or involved in the event, or if the event director is kind of local. So maybe a little bit better chance if
there's local ties.
Yeah, local ties, or at least if the director's from there. If you see it's, you know, a race happening in Sacramento and the race director's from Atlanta and there's nothing about a local anything, then that's kind of a sign. If the race is an inaugural race, closely review the website, although, you know, the website should have all the relevant information. Although anybody could really do a great looking website and kind of make up information. And
although it's, I like what it says next, though, that if events, it's not even the way the website looks, but if there's missing information on the page, like the exact location or bib pickup, location or exact starting time, or, you know, like if it's missing a lot of different information, it's like, okay, well, website looks great, but there really isn't any
actual
information.
It's just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it's kind of funny because when I read this, I was thinking back to, okay, I signed up for RNRSF. There was no course yet.
Right.
There was another local half marathon that I was thinking of doing, and I contacted them about packet pickup, and they basically had no information about exact times on when it would be or where it would be or how it would be done.
Yeah.
So,
although...
And those are companies I was familiar with, so I wasn't worried, but
I was going to say with the caveat to that is RNRSF, okay, Rock and Roll Series, like that's a pretty well-known series. Yeah. It's a big series. And then the smaller race, I mean, that's interesting. You actually ended up not registering for it, but not necessarily because of that reason. So, but you did do... this is just kind of telling you to do your homework, you know, so it's not telling you to do the race or not do the race. Right. Just do your homework before you decide.
The next one was look for safety information on the website or in the waiver of liability, which it mentions things like, you know, expected weather conditions and road conditions on race day. And I gotta admit, I've never even looked for this kind of stuff.
I've seen that on actual websites, but not included in the waiver. But I have to be honest, I don't typically read the entire waiver. No, I'm just being honest.
When I'm
going through active.com, I just click the thing that says agree to the waiver. Seriously, So it could be in there. I just haven't read it.
So the next one, probably the most important one, is at least to me personally, use your networks when researching out of town races. So that means look for race reviews on websites. Sometimes I'll look for, my favorite thing is to look for bloggers that have done a race. Usually there's some kind of race review.
Right.
So if it's a race that's happened before, you can get some information that way. And Facebook's probably a really good way to do it. So if they have a Facebook page, go over there.
Right.
And if you see a ton of negative comments, that's a pretty
red
flag that there's some kind of issue with either the company or that particular race. And I guess I'm a person that does pay quite a bit of attention to the race organizer, the company behind the race, and even the timing company. I know I'm weird like that. I always pay attention to like what the timing company is because... You know, like here in Northern California, I'm kind of familiar with a lot of them. So I'm like, okay, I like these guys. These guys are okay. And, you know,
I've had trouble with these guys.
Yeah, these guys, you know, they don't mark courses out very well over here.
Right.
So I do pay attention to that stuff, but I know a lot of people don't. But
And I know we've gotten some, you know, like emails and Facebook posts asking about races in the area. Mm. And I mean, that makes sense. If you're not from the area, you're going to be here and you kind of want some feedback. I mean, maybe it's one where we're like, oh yeah, we heard bad things about it. Don't do it. Or yeah, that's a great one. We've done it before, you know, go ahead and do it. So
next one on the list was look for signs of community support for the race, which we kind of mentioned in some ways, but you know, if they mention it's proceeds go to charity, it should say what charity, not just charity.
Right.
You know, is local businesses involved, is sponsors, or what else? I would say the local Chamber of Commerce or the local Visitors Bureau. But if you go back to that Ranky article, that's who he used to kind of partner with. There was a lot of Visitor Bureau, so that might not be the best way to look at it. But if you do see a lot of local sponsors and charities kind of involved and actually named.
Like a specific charity.
That's a better sign.
Yeah, and I think also if it gives you information on how you can donate directly to that specific charity also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So the last one on here is just look for price gouging, especially with new events. And it was the national average for price. But like I said, this was originally published in 2012. So this is very old.
I don't think this is too far off, though.
Yeah.
Average $25 to $30 for a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem... I mean, I guess the 10K maybe is a little low. $35 to $40 for a 10K.
And $45 to $60 for a half is pretty low.
Yeah.
But if you do see... it's just trying to mention the fact that if you do see some kind of crazy prices, you know, it makes you weary of, you know, what are you getting for that price? And make sure it's not somebody just trying to shoot. Promote a race, take reg fees, and take off.
Right.
So that's the entire list. We're not mentioning it to scare you. These are pretty rare instances of these kinds of problems, but they are out there. Set a lot of money in the sport. It's very tempting for shady people to make an easy, quick buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We moving on here?
Yep.
I
was just thinking about it. I mean, that's why I kind of like paused and didn't say anything. So, I mean, it's just... Yeah, it's not a very happy topic to talk about, but it's, you know, definitely something to keep in mind. And it just happened to get prompted by
one of
the article that we were reading. And so we just kind of want to share the information. And then there's other people who are listening that maybe have never done a race before.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're looking to sign up for a race, now they can kind of use this as a guide to deciding whether to do one or not, or which one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, 90... 99% of the time, it's not going to be any chances of, you know, fraud.
Right, just blatant.
But yeah, but, you know, even if there's no fraud, it might be good just to do a little bit of research on the race that you're doing.
We got limited funds,
limited amount of time,
exactly.
Limited races that we can do. So you want to make sure that you're signing up for what you're signing up for and mm-hmm. get the best experience for your money.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's move on here. We do want to mention this coming weekend we have a race.
Right.
We're going to be out at the 408K in San Jose.
Which I'm going to try not to race. Just run, but not race.
And I'm going to try to do the same thing.
Okay.
So 8K, 5 miles. Mm-hmm. I'll be running back to back. So the race is on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I have to go and run. I'm going to go do a 10-miler on Saturday. A very hilly 10-miler on Saturday and then do the race on Sunday. So I'll be a little tired going into it. So I think that should slow me down. But that's where we'll be at our next event.
Mm-hmm.
Where we'll be next weekend. I said that kind of wrong, but that's okay.
That's where we're going to be next weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
wanted to wish good luck to other people racing this weekend. Sarah's doing the Best Dam race.
Yeah.
That's the name of it. We mm-hmm. talked about that before. Out in Florida. Good luck to Dave and Rob, who are going to be at the Napa Valley Marathon, a race that we will get out to someday. And good luck to Scott, who's actually going to be out at the 408K.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Yeah.
Or you'll see us.
Yeah. One or the other. Or both, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some feedback.
Message received.
So we did hear from Brian, who actually gave us a very good suggestion, probably the best idea. I was asking about how to add some mileage. So if I got a 20-miler on the calendar, if I want to do a half marathon.
On that day.
Yeah, on that day. You know, what would it be like to add mileage before or after the race to kind of get to that 20-miler? And I think he had the best suggestion in that was to kind of split it. So do 3.5 before the race and do 3.5 after the race.
Right.
Which kind of really worked out. Like, once he said it, I was like, duh.
Me too. Why were we thinking of adding the whole 7 before, the whole 7 after? Like, why didn't we think about splitting it up?
Well, you know what I liked about it was, and he pointed out, it's kind of like a warm-up before the race, and then you have a cool-down after the race.
Right. But you still get your 20 in.
But for me, I like the fact that, you know, we're kind of early to races in the morning, like in terms of time. So if I just get to the race at my normal time,
You can do your 3.5.
I could do my 3.5 and then still do the race and not have to wake up any earlier. Like when I was talking about, I'm going to go get my 7 miles before the race. I got to get up an hour early.
Yeah.
So that was actually my favorite part of the idea.
I'm with you though. Once I read it, I was like, yeah, duh. Why didn't we think of that? So thanks, Brian.
We also heard from Kevin, who actually shared an article from Competitor that had they had 10 eBibs only runners could understand. So what's an eBib? It's kind of like those online greeting card things that you see pop up on Facebook all the time kinds of subjects.
Yeah, but they look more like bibs.
Yeah. And these are definitely runner focused. So I know you picked one of your favorites out.
Yeah, my favorite one, which was, if you actually look at the article, it's the last one. It's number 10. It's, you know you're a runner when you get excited about new flavors of goo. So does that sound familiar?
Yeah, we do want to talk about.
Yeah, caramel. If you haven't tried it, you gotta have it.
And my favorite was actually, you know you're a runner when you scoff at paying $10 for a movie ticket, but you'll happily pay $40 for a 5K that you hope lasts less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Which is true. It's the one time we kind of go.
I have scoffed at paying $10 for a movie ticket.
Yeah, my second favorite one was actually, it said runners ignoring doctors since forever, which is kind of true. But you can actually go over to, those are from a website called ilovetorun.org,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually make your own. So they have a whole bunch of pictures and characters, and you type in the text, whatever you want it to be, and you can share it on your own Facebook page or just keep the picture and email it around or something like that. You'd have to sign up or connect with Facebook, but it's pretty cool to make your own. So
yeah, I know we don't want to spend too much time on this, but one of the e-bibs that reminded me of you was, I don't know what's longer, a microwave minute or a treadmill minute, just because you talk about not running on treadmills. So
yes,
I mean, like not necessarily the microwave part, but yeah, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I never really have issues waiting for microwaves.
I know, but the treadmill part is just kind of funny.
True. We also heard from Scott, who, remember I was talking last week about my idea of the volunteers at Brazen Racing having
their names
like on a bib, like if they have a volunteer bib.
So we can say thanks to Scott.
Yeah, or like say, hey, thanks, Scott.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
If you're out there handing me a water. Mm-hmm. Didn't like the idea of wearing a bib.
I don't blame him.
After he said it, I was kind of like, well, I don't want to wear a bib.
If you were going to volunteer.
Either, although mm-hmm. I still like the idea of thanking people by name. So maybe I said like a name tag. Sam from Brazen actually did hear the episode and actually reached out before I even had a chance to email him his suggestion. So the bad news is he actually did like the idea.
or the good news is.
But it's... I think we both kind of went back and forth and we kind of admitted that, you know, maybe the bib's not the best way to go. So he has a couple other ideas and maybe we'll see some cool things for volunteers at Brazen Racing in the future.
Right. So, so that we can recognize them.
Yeah.
Specifically by name.
Yeah. So yeah. It's on his brain. So he's going to think about that. And maybe we'll see something down the line.
Stay tuned.
Cool. We heard from Kristen, who actually did register for her and her husband for the Sea Jane run, which we mentioned last week.
Yeah.
So coming from the UK. So that'd be awesome. You're going to be running that race. And a reminder that we do have the discount code on the website.
Right.
So if you do want to do that race out of Alameda, California.
Yes.
You can save 10% with the code right on our front page. Can't miss it.
Yeah.
And then we also heard from Beth, who was stopped by a bus driver at a stoplight to ask about the 13.1 sticker on her car.
Yeah, I guess the bus driver said that he or she has seen, you know, a lot of the 26.2 and the 13.1 stickers and just wanted to know, like, what did that mean? And so I guess they had a pretty good conversation before the light turned green,
yeah.
You know, about what that was and running in general.
I got to say,
I
busted up laughing when I read that because... I don't know. I find it funny, but to kind of do it like at a stoplight.
Yeah.
I figured like, well, you kind of would have ran into somebody like in a parking lot with the sticker maybe at some point.
Maybe.
In time. But yeah, that relates to that. We had talked about a story that we were talking to some people and they busted up laughing because they had no idea what 13.1 and 26.2 until we started
talking. And we were
having
a conversation about it. Yeah.
About
and they're
distances.
Like, oh.
That's what those mean.
Yeah.
So I definitely got a good laugh out of that. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
I think that's it. I think that's it for the week.
I think that's going to do it. Have a good run if you're out on your run. I'm about to go. I'm going to save this, post this online, and then I have to go get a run in. So the rest of my evening should be fun. All right, so we'll catch you guys next time.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.